Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, good morning, Ben. I hope you've got a couple of jackets on because it's like for Hawaii, it's real cold. It's 59, it's 58, it's cold degrees. No one wants to get out of bed. And by the way, if you're listening online or if you'd like to one day, it's radiogolfclub.com where you can not only hear the live stream but also the podcast. It's stored same page, just one is the podcast and one is the live stream. And if it's not when we're live, you'll hear older shows that are playing over and over again. Good morning. Yes, it is Saturday. It is, wow, in February. We're moving along, aren't we? We're going into Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. The talk of the world right now, or at least the talk of the United States of America. And on the radio, streaming live and listening from Frank Nabilo is standing by. CBS Sports golf analyst and on-course reporter, professional golfer with 14 wins worldwide. He joins us right after we get into the show. But Ron Miyashiro, the golf coach from UH, is going to be with us. Rhett Evans, the CEO of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, with us. Joe Jernigan, a putter maker here in Hawaii. Beautiful, beautiful putters. And Jay Coffin, founder and president of Coffin Corner Media, a media consulting company. He's going to be with us as well. Got a high surf advisory for the north and west facing shores. Don't go out unless, of course, you're really good. Sunny today with a scattering of showers. High expected to be, maybe 79 degrees. Winds are variable to 15. Lovely. You don't have to do much in the wind there. And the low tonight, again, 55 to 60 degrees. And we'll be back with Frank Nabilo after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in beautiful Kaneohe. Dr. Carlson's Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration, floods, broken water pipes, 24/7 cleanup, and RCM Construction for concrete spalling repairs.
And now let's bring him into the clubhouse, Frank Nabilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports. Welcome, Frank. It's good to hear you.
Thanks, Danielle. Yeah, it's nice. Normally we have a chat those first couple of weeks in Hawaii, but if I was there today, I'd be going out to that North Shore. Sounds like you got got some good waves out there.
Yes, we've had some good waves, some very, very big waves, some amazing rides. A 14-year-old caught this fabulous ride on this monster wave. I mean, the face must have been about 10 times taller than he was, and he rode it beautifully. I mean, his dad was on shore watching. It was just absolutely thrilling for the father and for all of us to watch this young man just catch that ride and hold it. When you're not weighted down, it's easy to, and with the wind strong as well. So much is going on in the world of golf, and I want to talk to you about everything, but I thought we'd start with Steve Stricker, who at 53 is only one back. He had the lead, and now, you know, at Waste Management Phoenix Open, brought to you by the Thunderbirds, he is out there and contending. Didn't he just get into it or play again because he wanted to stay in touch with the youngsters that he may be the captain of during the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, Danielle. I actually saw him last week, he and his wife, Nikki, because they played in San Diego, and he actually made the weekend there as well. He'd been playing on the Champions Tour, the PGA Champions Tour, and actually being successful. But you're right, this year, being a Ryder Cup year, because remember, it was delayed due to COVID in his home area. So it's certainly a way to keep in touch with the guys, but I think he's sending the wrong message, because it's actually demoralizing to the team when you know your captain can basically kick your butt. So it'll be good to see him try and have a crack at Sam Snead's record as the oldest to win on the PGA Tour.
Exactly. It is. It's really, really exciting to see him. And this goes into the distance report in a way. Steve Stricker is an amazing putter. And
yes,
right, so he doesn't have to go long off the tee. He doesn't have to have the longest game, because his short game is so magnificent. And so much of that, watching him, why doesn't he coach? I mean, does he teach putting to some of the professional golfers who watch him?
Yeah, he's many a time he's given Tiger Woods a putting lesson. The biggest difference is that Tiger putts more with his right hand. And Steve putts more with his left. You know, if you look at Tiger Woods' putting drill, probably going back about 6 or 7 years ago, it would have been 2013, I think, was the last time Tiger Woods was number one in the world. And I'm trying to think of the golf course we were at, and I was working for Golf Channel, and we got it on, literally Tiger getting a putting lesson from Steve. And then I talked to Steve about it, and he said the biggest difference for him was Tiger liked to focus on his right hand, and he liked to focus on his left hand, and that's why those two strokes look different. But, you know, Steve's still in good shape. He does a lot of bow hunting, so, you know, his shoulders, and when you look at his golf swing, I remember first meeting him in 1996 at the Dunhill Cup, which was at the Old Course at St. Andrews. And I think he'd won twice that year on the PGA Tour, and that was before he had a slump, and then he came back the U.S. Open around 2001, I think it was, And all of a sudden got his game back. And he, the amazing thing about Steve is his disposition never changes. Never. I mean, whether he's playing good or great. I mean, he's a model of consistency for that, and a good human being.
And his wife is on the bag. Isn't that great?
Yeah, Nikki. Yeah, Nikki will, you know, Nikki's been involved in golf her whole life. Her dad is a coach. Her brother is a coach. So yeah, Nikki's one of the few that can call Steve out when you know, typical player, you know, you try and blame it on something else, and she'll just give him the look like, no, it wasn't. Come on.
Let's get real. When you were talking about last week, can we talk a little bit about Patrick Reed and the embedded ball? Good, because my mind was blown watching him keep his fingers in the ground, moving from one spot kind of circular to another. It seemed like his muscles indicated there was a pressure that he was applying. And I know that's just my eye looking, and it just looked really weird. And then, Randall Chambly brought up that I didn't know about palming the ball and possibly cleaning it that way. Tell us, what was your impression?
Yeah, well, basically it happened on the hole that I was covering. And you know, we're privy to see the ball bounce. And I have no qualms. If I put myself in player mode, you know, you hit a shot, you pull it out of the fairway bunker, and you go up there. And admittedly, it was on a slightly higher ground to that left side of the 10th green. And you ask the volunteers, did you see it bounce? And she just said, no, I didn't see it. You know, like, I didn't see it bounce. So your brain goes into, you know, you see the lie. It could be embedded. So you mark the ball, and you pick it up, and you look. And you go, hey, guys, I'm just going to check and see if it's embedded. And that's where, because obviously when we found out about Rory, I'm fast-forwarding to the next day, because we weren't aware of what happened with Rory McIlroy 18 until Sunday morning, hence the whole pullover of trying to, you know, show both shots. But my issue, and I voiced it a couple of holes later, was, you know, Patrick was perfectly entitled to look at his ball and examine his line. And in that stage, when you go, hey, I'm not quite sure, guys, I'm going to call for a ruling, and you normally put the ball back. I've never seen anyone proceed any other way. So you would put the ball back, and the reason why you do that is normally in an embedded ball, if the ball hits the ground, chances are there's a bit of mud on the bottom of the ball. So it's almost helps you with that jigsaw piece that you're going to present to the rules official, like, hey, I think it's embedded. He picks the ball up, he sees there's some mud, he inspects the hole, puts two and two together, yeah, you get an embedded ball drop, whether we like it or not. But the problem was he deviated from that. He then asked for the ruling, and then he went back, got the ball, And I counted, he walked three paces to the left, puts it down there, tells his caddy carefully, hey, don't touch it, then goes back and then starts re-examining the line, the lie. And that's where, obviously, you then start to get conspiracy theory kicks in, you start to question your reputation and all that. And he made it very difficult for people just to buy the fact that it might have been embedded. And it was a shame, really. And by the time the rules official, Brad Fable, gets there, he goes, hey, Patrick, what is it? And he goes, I've got an embedded ball. And Fable goes, well, what's this? He said, well, I've already marked it. And so Fable has to proceed with what he sees, goes and inspects the lie, and, of course, the rest is history. And the message we were trying to get across on TV, because you're trying to serve three servants, I guess. You're trying to serve the viewer at home. Obviously, you're trying to do justice to the player. But also, you're trying to educate the people at home. Because if we had everybody doing, in my opinion, doing an embedded ball rule like that, I think there would be a lot of problems. And sadly, we'll never know. And I just think Patrick, if he was to look at it with a cool mind or think about it if it was another player, is that the way you'd want to proceed? I think the answer, well, in my opinion, would be no.
Yeah, yeah. It was very strange watching, and I'm not, you know, so many of us are not that familiar with the rules, but it just didn't.
Well, they've changed. Daniel, not to jump in, but, like, you know, I made a rule mistake on the 16th hole because, you know, when he marked his ball on 16, it's not his fault, and the ball, and he put the ball back down, the ball rolled forward. Well, you know, that rule's changed several times over the last few years. So sadly, when you get to my age, you've played over about five or six different iterations of a rule. So the embedded ball rule actually had changed 2 years ago to allow you, you know, you actually don't, I don't need, if I'm playing with you, I don't need you to verify it. The way the rule reads now, you know, because it's on the onus of the player, it's embedded, then you get to drop it. But you just have to be comfortable that it's embedded. And obviously pro golf is a little different. If in doubt, call for a rule, a ruling.
Yes, yes, yes. And the camera was positioned behind him. So we were looking at his back, which made it even more conspiratorial. You know, it's like the conspiracy theories you were talking about, it just made it seem even more strange the way the whole thing played itself out. But, you know, he won. And that's another shame because he is such a good performer. He's such a good player. And he won by what, five strokes?
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The hard thing is, and you're right, Patrick's an amazing player. I remember not necessarily being involved, but I was on the air the following day and bring that up. And it's not that I defended him, but he got a two-shot penalty. And so the thing, you know, the rule book is there for all these occasions. And one of the rule changes they made that was very, very good is the committee now has the right scorecard. Before, what would happen is we would get a penalty, and then, say, for example, you shot 71, the rules committee would decide that there was a penalty to 73, but you've signed for 71, so you're disqualified for an incorrect scorecard. So that's being changed, which is far better. So the issue that I had with what some of the things that were being said with the Bahamas, even though I thought it was quite blatant, was that he was penalized. It was handled under the rules of golf. And so if people are penalized, I'm fine with it. And that's, you know, people seem to think that it's a really bad thing when a guy gets a penalty. On Sunday, we didn't see them, but they played lift, clean, and place the first three rounds at Torrey Pines. Because the weather was good and the forecast was good, they played it down on Sunday. Well, three players that we know of, but they weren't shown on TV, walked up just, you know, early off, and they just picked their ball up like they had the first 3 days. Caddy goes, what are you doing? He goes, I just lift, clean, and play. No, it's not today. So it's a penalty. And that's fine. There's no, you know, you pay the price, and that's it. So often people think, and I know I do as an announcer too, and I did as a player, that if you're not penalized, you're getting away with it. And I think that's the sort of the area that you sort of on one side of the fence or the other.
And the gray areas, yes. And yeah. Black and white, although it should be, there are often so many gray areas. It's a game of integrity. So you have to be able to trust the people you're playing with, because you're not always right next to each other, and no one always has a camera on them. No one always has a scorer there, a rules official there. So it's really important that you can trust. And there's been so much from college days that there's been so much talk about distrust in the Patrick Reed situations that, you know, it just kind of follows you. And I really want him to to stop it.
Stop it. I mean, integrity is earned, respect is earned, and you're absolutely right. I mean, he's such a good player. And, you know, for example, if you look at Sunday's round, it was faultless. He didn't do a single thing wrong. And also, to your point, the lion's share, excuse me, of the TV coverage is always on the leading group. So that's where all these funny, you know, sort of almost nefarious rulings come about. Because they got multiple cameras on him. So, but on Sunday he was impeccable.
He was,
and you just want to see that version. And if he does that enough, then you buy back public opinion.
Exactly. Interesting thing happened too on I think it was Tuesday morning when everybody thought, oh, the distance report, that must be dead. We haven't heard anything about it at all. USGA and RNA make it completely clear. The distance report is anything but in the circular file. And they made some really good points. One of them from Mike Davis, the increased distance cycle that's been going on generation after generation. We believe this is continuing, and what this is doing, this increased hitting distance has caused the golf courses around the world to change, to increase distance, adding bunkers, adding trees. It costs a game more time to play, bigger golf courses, takes more resources like water, maintenance, people to work, the labor force costs, all of that. And sustainability is a big part. And then Martin Slumbers from the RNA says technology is great when it makes the game easier to play for most, but at the elite level, the balance is not there. What was your take on what they're doing and how they're going about?
I think they should be more aggressive. We live in a binary world now, not going into the politics or anything like that, but you know, people think it's a yes or a no answer. And sadly, this isn't, because there's so many pieces to the puzzle. You know, there's the ball, there's the club, there's the shaft, there's the launch monitors, there's agronomy, there's architecture, there's, you know, a player, am I a long hitter, am I a short hitter, you know, what age am I, am I an amateur player? So I think you have to, first of all, start, there is no right answer in this, but there's a lot of wrong ones. And that's why you're getting players that are now public, and they're saying, hey, this is ridiculous. You know, for example, last year, so many people playing golf. Well, you know, that's like a reality TV show, too. That's not real, because everybody that's speaking out has either got a club contract or they represent a certain part of the sport. And so it's you know, to be brutally honest, I mean, the USGA and the RNA have had their hands tied, really, going back to the Ping lawsuit in the 80s with the square groups. And so that there's always the threat of litigation. So you're trying to get manufacturers who make money selling clubs and equipment to agree with someone that's going to try and legislate what they can put out. And if you're selling two different versions of a driver a year, which is what was happening for a while, and they're all $500 or $600, I mean, it's pretty hard to try and get someone to rein in their business. So you got a lot of issues here. But I think if we were really to have a sane conversation about it, you can't have 8,000-yard golf courses, because this is the way we're going to go. And with technology, it just ramps up. What we've done in the last 5 years, we did in the last 20. And what we did in the last 20, it took 50 to get this. So, you know, we can see where it's going. My biggest concern was TOR, you know, not necessarily from a sort of a historical point of view, but when we went from wood to metal, you basically got, and this is going to sound like really measly, but you got a 6.5% increase with a difference of COR and wood. So basically, you gave everybody 6.5% of distance. It doesn't seem like much, but instantly, golf courses to retain the same integrity had to be 6.5% longer. And then now you've gone for a longer shaft, try and get even deeper into the weeds. Robot testing says every quarter an inch with a robot, you'll gain 1 mile an hour of club head speed. For every 1 mile an hour, you should gain 2.5 yards. So just by going from wood to metal and a longer shaft, you can pick up 30, 40 yards. Now, that's not earned. So I believe that the longest hitters should be the longest hitters and the shortest hitters should still be the shortest hitters. But there's also a benefit for the recreational player, which is having a club, you know, it's a tough game. So peripheral weighting, all those things, they help the recreational player. So the only thing I've really been able to put my hands on and nearly get people to agree on is if the COR was reined in, you could still have peripheral weighted clubs with wider sweet spot and you would actually just take away at least some of that. And that's not even addressing the golf ball. But like I said, it's not a binary discussion, Danielle. And sadly, people want it to be a yes-no answer.
No, you're absolutely right. It's all over. Bifurcation comes up. And when you talked about, I mean, Rory was made it perfectly clear that he thinks this whole distance report is ridiculous, a ridiculous waste of money. But when he was asked about bifurcation, he said, yeah, I would be all for that if they want to try to make the game more difficult for us, meaning the professional, and more try to incorporate more skill to the game. Yeah, I would be all for that because I think it only benefits the better player, which I feel like I am. So if you have to use all of your skills, and I think that's one of the things that the USGA and the RNA said too, that, you know, skill. It's not just hit it long and then chip and then putt. There's got to be more to this game. We're losing the game. So do you think of bifurcation? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, the bifurcation one is once again, is awkward because it sounds like the easy thing to do, but it creates so many problems. For example, the two Opens, the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. And I'm just talking about the men's games. The same problem would exist on the ladies' game. And you have a developing teenager who's really good that's going to learn with the new equipment going forward. And then are we just bifurcating for the men? Presumably we're going to bifurcate for the women as well at the leading side of the game. So therefore, this teenager, whether they be male or female, wants to play in the ladies' or the men's U.S. Open or ladies or men's, you know, Open Championship. And so what do? Do they change equipment in a week when they get into those championships? They're going to have to. So now you're like, well, where do you then draw the line when you're a good player to slip into the equipment that the best players in the world are using? So that instantly becomes a problem. So you would think it's a drip feeding the way back. But, you know, I also think and this is where I say you got to go inside those closed rooms and have a real discussion, because are we Formula One? Are we a sport that's just going to go, is so technologically advanced that that's what we are? Or are we a sport like tennis or football, soccer, you name it, which has a fixed set of parameters? Because that's the one thing that's happened subconsciously under the level. You know, I really do believe that the USGA, they won't admit it, but they were fixated on par for a U.S. Open, for example. And so what happened, almost to keep the score relevant for all these generations, if you look at a U.S. Open in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, I mean, of course, it got longer and longer and tougher, greens got faster and faster, and people would say, look, same score won. But it was a totally different golf course. So our sport, we would constantly change our parameters to try and make sure that the scores are the same. If we left everything the same, players would be shooting in the 50s every week. You'd have one or two, but we wouldn't have tucked everything under a rock, and we would be at this discussion far quicker, but we didn't. We hit it all by changing golf courses, hole locations, making them tougher and all that. So we would say the score really didn't change that much. And that's why I hate it when you see someone goes, oh, the stroke averages or this hasn't changed. Well, you're gonna quote me a number from 30 years ago or 40 or 50 or even 20 years ago with today's number, and you're going to say that that's an accurate discussion? Well, everything else has changed. So it's not. So that's why we can't. So to answer your question on bifurcation, even that's dangerous.
Yeah, I see it.
With the developing part of the game. So it's once again, it's not a simple solution.
Frank Nabilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports. You always go deep. And it's so exciting. No, I'm serious, because you bring up things that I didn't think of. Lots of people didn't think of, you know, that just about, you know, the college players transitioning to the professional ranks. What equipment are they going to practice with? What are they going to use? Thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, as always, have a great year, Danielle.
You too. Aloha. We're going to come back. A good friend, Jay Coffin, he has a new business, founder and president, Coffin Corner Media. He'll be with us right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Golf Club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate that must have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates. It's easy to do. Email Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000.
What do falling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Jay Coffin, founder and president, Coffin Corner Media, a media consulting company, formerly with Golf Channel and, of course, Golf Week. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey there, Danielle. Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. It's a little chilly for us, I know. Where are you calling in from?
I'm from Orlando, where it's a drizzly 73 degrees.
Oh, well, see, it's like 62.
Okay.
In Hawaii. So
we had a 33 degree morning 2 days ago that I got to tell you knocked Floridians for a loop. I don't think anybody wanted. We're not supposed to leave our houses anyways, but everybody really didn't want to leave their house. That was a bit of a culture shock for us.
I bet. Now, you know, I expected you to like enjoy a few months, I guess you did, but you've come up with this plan to become a media guru, Coffin Corner Media, a media consulting company, and you've heard from a lot of people. Was this always on the back burner?
I would say yes. I've been in golf since, 1997, so 24 years, and obviously had the pleasure of talking to you quite a bit over those times. And, between Golf Week and Golf Channel, it's just, it's always been great. I mean, to be able to make your living doing something about this game is terrific, is it not? But always sort of in the back of my head was always kind of, you're always kind of looking ahead. And what is next? Should things not work out, with Golf Channel? And what is next? And I just kind of always got to the point where, with my connections, with my experience, there's got to be a way to be able to kind of create my own thing and do my own thing, do what I'm good at, help the people I know, and kind of make it all work. So really, this is, the last 5 or 6 months, I've had a chance there towards the end of my Golf Channel career to really hunker down and sit down and try to figure out what I wanted to do. And every time I'd make a plan, it sort of came up, hey, now's the time to give it a try. So this is what we're doing, and I'm fired up about it.
Yeah, Coffin Corner Media. And now, what services do you provide?
So anything, yeah, basically anything regarding media. I mean, my specialties obviously are writing and editing and speaking and, you know, social media. You know, one of the first clients that I have that I sent in that tweet was Rock Sports Group, which is super agent Mac Barnhart up there in Sea Island, and really helping everything communications with him, which is, you know, PR and communications and consulting and doing social media for a lot of his players. But it really kind of could even, you know, this is one of the things, Danielle, where I don't want to say no. I mean, so I'm glad you asked me because I'm able to tell you what I'm planning to do, but it could go somewhere else. I don't necessarily want to name the name, but I had a mental coach a week ago call me and ask if I would listen to a lot of the things that he's done over the course of the years of podcasts and interviews, and ask if I would actually sort of be a media coach for him, if I would listen to interviews and find a way to help him tweak his message and help him with what are the crutches that he always uses if there's something he doesn't know, how to sort of get right to the meat and potatoes of what it is he's trying to do. That's something that I hadn't envisioned a month ago. And a week ago, he called, and we're sitting down and developing this playbook. And I'm thrilled to do it. So when you ask, again, I'm sort of telling you the things I'm anticipating to doing, but also knowing that things are going to pop up that I don't even realize I have expertise at, that I'm going to be happy to do, like this is that I just told you about.
It must be fulfilling, too, the idea of helping people.
Absolutely. And, you know, not that I wasn't over the past years, but you're kind of in it. You know, you know, everybody has an ego, whether it's big or small. And, you know, and you really, you know, the last 13 years, you kind of just, it's been a grind, an everyday grind. Look, again, not even remotely complaining, right? Not even remotely, but it's been a grind, you know, and Tiger does something. It's, you know, it's, you stop and drop everything for the next 4 or 5 hours. And again, you know, I think I sort of took for granted how many people paid attention to what we were doing at Golf Channel over the years. And one of the things that is nice about winding up your career there is you hear from so many people who actually paid attention to what you were doing all those years, and it makes you feel good again. But you're right, it does make you feel good to be able to help people who you know need help with things that I have been trained to do and know that I have expertise at. So I'm thrilled to be doing it. I'm excited. It's a good start so far. Got a couple good partners, as I mentioned, with Mac there and another logistics business, and we're going to see where it goes. And I feel really, really good. The way I like to tell people this, Danielle, is, you know, sadly, you know, the job market is what it is, and people are losing jobs and have lost jobs, but there's no less work to be done.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
So when you think about it that way, there's a need, and I really think there's a way for me to be able to make this work.
So I was going to ask you, International Golf Logistics, what do they do?
Yep. So they're a travel and logistics company based out of North Berwick, Scotland. And this is a company that Mac and Rock Sports Group has basically hired every year for the past 15, 20 years to help handle the logistics of all of Rock Sports Group's players when they travel overseas, whether it be a Ryder Cup or an Open Championship. And so I'm talking logistics. I mean, it sounds simple, like it's just travel, just airfare, but I mean, it's everything. It's making sure your place is the place it needs to be, and making sure that place is stocked with food and transportation and car services and luggage. And I mean, you name it, top to bottom, soup to nuts. I mean, an actual logistics company.
Wow.
So Mac and Rock Sports Group is trying to bring, trying to sort of take their expertise and spread it over here in the States a little bit more to help grow that part of the business. And so, again, I'm helping them with social media plans and communication plans and helping run their, Twitter and Instagram feeds as well. And we're really kind of just getting started on with some of the ideas that we have.
It's magnificent. It's wonderful because things that you take for granted knowing how to do, a lot of people have no idea how to start. So, you know,
you're, No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I've had this conversation with people in that, you know, I even talked to my wife. I said, hey, what if somebody asked me to do X, Y, Z, and, you know, I'm not as confident as I am doing A, B, C. And she says, well, you're better at X, Y, Z than whoever it is that's asked. I mean, as long as you're open and honest and, you know, again, back to this coach that I'm, you know, a mental coach that I'm working with. I've never actually advised anybody on how to get better, but how many interviews have I listened to or done or transcribed or listened, you know, and how many TV shows have I set in over the last 23 years? I do have that expertise.
Yes.
I don't realize I have that expertise, but I absolutely do. And so that's what's kind of cool about bringing this all together. And again, it's refreshing too, because it's sort of my own schedule, and, you know, I'm still able to get out and play a little golf with my son and, you know, and spend a lot more time with the family. Haven't really traveled much, which is, you know, which is kind of good too. So, kind of dipping my toe in the waters here. You know, learning to walk before I run, but man, I'm anticipating running here before too soon.
Yeah, the way people are going to be reaching out to you for help. Jay Coffin, at Jay Coffin on Twitter, and one of his pinned tweets, that's something that people see at the very top of your feed, is his four-year-old. They started playing golf when his son was four. So your son's 12 now, I believe. Right?
He's actually 14.
Oh,
so that tweet was 2 years ago, and it was 8 years off that, so it's been 10 years. Yeah.
Okay, so how does he like seeing his four-year-old self searching for the tee on your Twitter feed?
We still get such a kick out of it. Because I remember that. I mean, that's the first day he and I were ever on a golf course together, and, you know, obviously we've played hundreds of times since, and he's now he's actually sitting right next to me, so I hesitate to even say this, but he's now beating me on a fairly regular basis.
Bravo, bravo.
But we get such a kick out of watching that and seeing him hit the ball and then bending over and trying to find where that damn tee is. We get a kick out of it quite a bit, and you know, happy that he turned into baseball there for a little bit, but about a year and a half ago said, look, I want to be full-time golf, and I'm glad that he sort of came by it honestly. I never pushed him into it, and now he's getting to be quite a handful, and I love it.
That's great, and it's one of those things that perplexes every golfer that is just going out and having fun playing on the golf course. Where did the tee go? How come I can't find the tee? Jay Coffin,
exactly.
Yes, Jay Coffin is founder and president, Coffin Corner Media, a media consulting company. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, so go to coffincornermedia.com is the best way, or either my Twitter feed, which is at Jay Coffin, COFFgram at Coffin Corner. So one of those three ways you should be able to find me, and you know, let me know if you think there's a way I can help. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being on the show, Jay.
All right, Danielle, have a good rest of the weekend. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. We'll talk again. Aloha. We're going to come back. Joe Jernigan, creator and owner of Synergy Design Company, right here in Hawaii, makes some of the most beautiful putters. Absolutely gorgeous pieces of art. The designs are amazing. And he's going to join us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Want more customers?
Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade.
Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few hundred dollars. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
Aloha Power Equipment, their moving sale continues until the store is empty. And we put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the fabulous Honda mower. You save $50 on the mower. You get your $200 extended warranty free, and delivery is half priced. That's Aloha Power Equipment.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Joe Jernigan, creator and owner of Synergy Design Company, welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I was listening to a GolfWorks podcast and fascinated to find that you were an aircraft technician who worked for Hawaiian Air, manager of aircraft maintenance until 2013. And that's when you made the decision to put family first, and you started teaching yourself welding, stainless steel fabrication, shotgun holders, some of the things I don't even understand, and machining and making everything on a manual mill. Wow. Then all of a sudden customers wanted you to do all of the welding, and then you started making putters. What a fabulous story you have.
Yeah. Actually, when I left Hawaiian Air, that was back in 2012, I actually went to work at Hawaiian Electric, and I still work at Hawaiian Electric full-time as a project manager there. And I do the machining and welding, not so much of the welding and fabrication stuff anymore, but I was doing a lot of that stuff in the beginning. I think early on, I started doing that stuff at home because it kind of, I still kind of missed some of the technical work that we got to do at the airline. And that kind of started to scratch my itch. I got interested in welding and, you know, just metalworking at home. And that kind of led into machining, because some of the parts that I was making at home on the little manual mill, it would just take so long. And I started looking for a local shop that could water jet some parts for me out of stainless steel, and I could do the welding. And so I met a guy named Pete at Precision Machinery in Pro City, and he had started, you know, I was painting to cut some of the parts, and I kind of got introduced into the CNC machining world at his place, and I was hooked. You know, so from there, I bought my first small machine. When I first purchased the first machine, I didn't have any specific product in mind that I had to make on it. It was just, yeah, I just needed some of that, you know, that CNC equipment in my life. So just went out on a limb, purchased the machine, and basically had to start from scratch, you know. And a lot of people ask me, so how did you learn all this stuff? And they're kind of, they don't believe it when you tell me, you know, you just jump in and there's a lot of reading, you know, there's a lot of training videos online. It's not just the machining you got to learn, but that's CAD design, CAM, programming, right? So it's there was a lot. It was a big hurdle in the beginning. It's still not the. There's still times when you sit there scratching your head, but it's rewarding.
Yes. Well,
And I was hooked from the very beginning.
And it takes care of that, the passion that you have. When did you decide to start making putters?
I started making putters. I think the first prototype, the first one wasn't even a working prototype. The first one I made was, I would say, early 2018. And I had been designing a putter kind of casually before I even had got the machine, when I started to try and learn the CAD design side, because I've always wanted to make a putter, even before getting into the machining things. I remember back in aircraft school, we had a little project. We had to out of just polycarbonate, we had to kind of shape something out. Then it was an open project, and you could create anything you want, and I made a putter, and that was back in, like, I want to say 1998.
Wow.
So I was always interested in putters. Putters is always kind of, it's the one club in your bag that it doesn't get beat up. You can keep this thing forever if you take care of it.
Yes.
Putters are kind of just sexy. Pretty much every other club in your bag, it's got some kind of life expectancy because you're going to beat up on it. It's not going to last forever, but a putter can. If you take care of it, you don't slam it into the ground and throw it all over the place. It'll look the same pretty much for a lot of years. So I was always kind of attracted to nice putters. The first machined milled putter I ever had was a Kevin Burns putter. It was back in the late 90s. And ever since then, I really got interested in those milled putters. There's a big difference from the cast putters.
This is Joe Jernigan, the creator and owner of Synergy Design Company, who has an obsession for precision. In the interview, I heard about your box of rejects that, they just weren't quite good enough. But what's amazing is you do custom designs. And so somebody comes to you and says, I want this on the putter. And do they bring you the picture? Do they bring you what you want, what they want to have you put it on?
I will usually ask for a picture or, something to get me started. And we can put anything on a putter, right? And I tell people that we can make anything we want here. We've got the machines. If you can design it, it may not always just be, super fast to do, but it's everything's possible. That's the way I look at it. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't think that way. So usually somebody will give me a picture, or if I've had people that I personally know and I know their personalities and I kind of know what they like, ask me to just design something for me. Sometimes that's harder, right, to just come up with something for the person. But I've done some of those, and I've never had somebody be disappointed yet, but usually I like to get a picture or a design, or even better would be some kind of digital file, like a vector file. That saves me a lot of time from going in and trying to clean up a design or clean up a drawing to be able to run smoothly on the machine. It can't be the cleaner and crisper the lines are on a design, that the faster it's going to be for me to be able to work with that.
Joe Jernigan is creator and owner of Synergy Design Company, and you can see his work on his Instagram page. Right now, he doesn't have a website, and it's SNRG_design_CO. And it's just, the work that you do is absolutely brilliant. I love the clean lines. I love the colors that you put into some of the designs that have sort of a local Asian feel to them. But you, do you also do Hawaiian designs?
I haven't done too many of the Hawaiian designs yet. And I've had pictures or designs, you know, come my way and ask me, hey, can you get this on? And honestly, most of the ones that people have sent to me are kind of wrong. How do you say it? Like it doesn't look correct. I'm not going to put a Hawaiian pattern or a design on there on a putter that it just doesn't look
aesthetically pleasing.
It doesn't look like authentic. You know, it's a bunch of designs just kind of thrown together, and you know, there's not the correct meaning behind it, and it could be offensive. You know,
yes.
I went through a long process and got. I actually have a Hawaiian tattoo on my leg that was done by Keone Nunez, and you know, I learned about the whole protocol and all that behind the designs and what certain things mean. And I think that's why I'm a little sensitive to putting something down that is just wrong. And it's kind of just, you know, cool designs that are kind of just thrown down and they don't work correctly together.
I understand.
So, yeah. So it's kind of to be, not to offend anybody, right? You know, especially being from Hawaii, I'm not going to be the one doing that. I see that those kind of things on designs from other OEMs in the mainland, and you know, for them to do it, maybe that's different because they don't know, right? They don't know better to what not to put on there, and I just feel like it'd be wrong of us to do it unless it's correct.
Yeah, I'm your obsession for precision and your willingness to say, no, that's not something I want to put on a putter. You can find somebody else to do it. I'm not comfortable. That to me is integrity and for your product and for your name. So I have a lot of, good feelings toward you. You're welcome. How long does it take you to make a putter? How long does it, I bring you everything easily done for you. How long would it take?
I will usually quote somebody at about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. And then a lot of that is it kind of depends on the backlog that we have. You know, if we don't have too much of a backlog, I can get it done sooner. We've streamlined some of the processes. In fact, lately, we've been putting a lot of time into different building, different fixturing, and trying to get, I guess, just the whole process of starting from a block of the stainless steel to the end, kind of more standardized and more efficient. So I've actually cut the time down, kind of significantly, but it depends on, like I was saying before, the design, how intricate, how well of a design you bring, or if it's just a standard putter. You know, a lot of people just want a standard stock putter with their stock designs on them, and that's fine. I can get those out the door a lot quicker. So I would say somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks, possibly sooner if it's a real simple stock design.
It's wonderful. And in the interview that I was listening to, Joe said that he has, as I mentioned, this obsession for precision. And when he's painting the colors in, if that's what you wanted, then if he sees dust, he has to take all that paint out and start over again. And your quality control is bar none. And Joe Jernigan, creator and owner of Synergy Design Company, I certainly hope you'll be back on the show when you get your website up and running. But meantime, folks, just go to his Instagram account, SNRG_design_CO. It stands for Synergy Design Company. And check out the photos. Amazing works of art. Thank you so much for being on the show, Joe.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back, and they just finished the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. They had their show, the 2021 Golf Industry Show. Rhett Evans is CEO. He'll be with us after this. I'm Danielle Tucker. We'll be right back.
Golf club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
The Golf Course Superintendent Association of America, CEO Rhett Evans, is in the clubhouse with us now. Welcome in, sir.
Well, good morning. Aloha, Danielle. I wish I was inside your clubhouse. I'm here in Kansas City, and it's snowing.
You know, it was like, I don't know, 58 degrees this morning. We're experiencing that polar vortex in our own special way. It's just a fascinating. Going out on the golf course today will be absolutely perfect. And by the way, folks, if you're not into the Super Bowl, after 10 o'clock or 10:30, all of the golf courses pretty much have tee times. It'd be a great time to go out and play a round of golf. But you had at the Golf Industry Show, Mr. Evans, some 9,300 attendees during the live event, 88 education sessions with more than 9,000 participants during the live event, more than 200 exhibitors in the trade show. Did you expect this kind of turnout during the virtual show?
Danielle, we really didn't know what to expect, right? I think we're all, you know, building the airplane as we're flying it here, going through the COVID challenges and you know, moving events around, et cetera. And so, to be honest, we're extremely excited about where we are right now with the numbers. They continue to grow. It'll be on demand for over 30 days. And I think, you know, it's just so important that we continue to move forward what we are able to deliver to the superintendents just affects golf in such positive ways. You know, all of your listeners that play the game, I think and I hope they appreciate what superintendents do day in and day out to create those playing conditions that they enjoy. And that's what this show is about, education, figuring out best practices and how we can take it back to the facility and make the game better.
Yeah, well, you do that. We at the golf club love the superintendents and everything that you do for the game, for our enjoyment. It's like walking into the best kept parks in the world. And it's a pleasure always to be amongst the everything that you nurture. And that's the beauty of it. I have to ask you, what is the annual Collegiate Turf Bowl competition?
Yeah, it's just a great way to really develop our future leaders in this sport and in our profession in particular. So we have land-grant universities around the country that have students that are studying to become superintendents, right? They're studying agronomy, they're studying horticulture, and we have put together the Collegiate Turf Bowl, where it has become extremely competitive, where each school will put together a team of four individuals, and they compete in a turf bowl where they go in and study diseases, look at different plant types, and have essay questions and different things. And we crowned Purdue University as our turf bowl champion this year. Penn State took number two, and it's these are students that are going to be future superintendents. So it's a great way to get them involved in the industry early.
That's fabulous. Also during the show, you had a live discussion moderated by yourself, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, LPGA Commissioner Mike Wan, USGA CEO Mike Davis, PGA of America CEO Seth Waugh. Golf's reaction to the pandemic and how the golf industry is moving forward. The industry's reaction to the pandemic was amazing. The swiftness with which you all came together and worked out the way for people to safely get back on the course, the multiple pages that you provided every golf course, general manager, superintendent, everyone who needed to know how to handle this safely. That was incredible. How do you see the golf industry moving forward?
Yeah, very similar. I think, you know, through this challenge, Danielle, there's been great opportunity, right? I think it's caused all of us to relook at our relationships, how we can be more collaborative. And we did just that. You know, when you go back to the spring of 2020, we had 54% of the golf facilities closed around the country. And certainly Hawaii was no exception, devastated with the closures. And we felt as an industry and those individuals that you mentioned that were on the panel, we all came together along with the other groups in golf, the managers and the owners and operators, and said, look, golf can be a solution here. Yeah, we need to be safe. Yeah, we need to make sure that we can put some procedures in place. But we've got a canvas that's outdoors on, you know, acres where we can spread each other out, and let's get back to playing. And we established the back to golf guidelines. We were able to get it in front of the CDC and some scientists and doctors, and lo and behold, it was successful. And when you look at the fact that we now have over 50 million more rounds played in 2020 than we did in 2019, given the fact that the first quarter we were already down, you know, again, over 20 million rounds because we were shut down. So I think the proof's in the pudding that we're able to pull that together. And as I talked to the commissioner of both the PGA Tour and the LPGA, certainly the USGA with their championships and the Ryder Cups, you know, we're figuring out now, you know, how to get fans back on there, how to do, you know, those larger events. And I think that's kind of phase two in all of this, Danielle, is how we navigate that.
Yeah. You working together, it's perfect. It took tragedy to get everybody to see that a collaborative environment is so much more productive than everybody kind of going off on their own and trying to get people to work with them after they've already made a decision.
That's a
much harder thing to do. So what, you know, one of the questions, and thanks to Mike, what direction of the U.S., the GS, Golf Course Superintendent Association of America is what I'm always going to say, because when it gets down to the GCSAA.
It's a mouthful.
Yes,
right?
It is. What is your, what direction, and how is the industry doing? It seems to be fabulous.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we talked briefly about where the rounds are at and the fact that we're up over 14% from the, you know, the year before. And so we've really, to your point, have used this real tragic event with the coronavirus to demonstrate what we've been talking about for decades, that golf is a sport that can be played by all. You are able to be out in the environment and see some just terrific properties and space. You can play it with your family and your friends. And so I think that message is getting out there with fewer distractions, whether it's going to the movies or other entertainment opportunities. And so to your question about where do we go from here, we have to capitalize on that. We have to make sure that those new players that came to the facilities and experienced all that golf has to offer, that we retain them and that we keep them. And one of the bright spots that I've seen in the numbers is the fact that of those 2.5 million newcomers that came to the game during the pandemic, 31% were women, 29% were non-Caucasian, and 56 were under the age of 35.
Wow.
And I think that, you know, that bodes well for diversity. It bodes well for expanding this game out to a larger reach. And GCSAA in particular is focused on the environmental side of that. We have to protect the asset. We have to be able to instill best practices to where we can continue our superintendent members, which we have over close to 19,000 and 78 countries and some fabulous members there in Hawaii. The chapter there is just tremendous, and they've done such a good job implementing their best management practices that demonstrate water quality protection. And, you know, as long as we can continue to do that and share our message with the regulatory body, you know, we'll be able to keep playing and hopefully growing this sport.
Yes, the Hawaii chapter did a fabulous job. They were on the show talking about their best management practices and the booklet that came out. Fabulous work that's being done, because the golf course superintendents, they want all of our land to be healthy. They
right,
want the
absolutely.
Ocean to be healthy, right? That's the beauty of the golf course superintendents is they love the aina, as we call it here, you know, and they care about it being healthy for future generations. That's what Hawaii's all about. When you get down to the nuts and bolts of how the philosophy here in Hawaii is. There's been such a huge input from golf course superintendents about taking care and making sure everything is done in a very good way. I have a question about the Back to Golf initiative, keeping golf open responsibly. Have we covered that?
Yeah, to a degree. And I think that, again, goes back to that collaborative spirit where, you know, you don't see a single logo on this. You see everyone's logos in golf, but we realize we all need to be, you know, on board, because it's not just about, you know, again, the golf course or the clubhouse. It was about the entire sport. And we still have that group put together as we navigate COVID. And again, as we start to bring back more events and opportunities in golf, we're going to continue to work with the CDC and make sure that we can do it safely and again, get people back on the course.
The GCSAA was joined with their show that they put together, the annual show. How long has this been going on? Since 1926.
Yeah, we started, we've been around for 95 years, and I think the show's been going on for, well, close to that.
Yeah, I was reading 1926. I thought that's a long time. I mean, the equipment that they were using back in 1926 look a whole lot different than the equipment used today.
Right.
So you were joined by the Association of Golf Course Architects and Golf Course Builders Association of America. Everybody participating, bringing out the newest things that are available to the superintendents to do their job most efficiently and sustainably. Now, let's get to the fun part. May I call you Rhett?
Absolutely.
Okay, Rhett. I understand that you love mountain climbing.
I do. It's my escape, let's put it that way.
You're going to climb Mount Denali?
Yeah. Every year I pick a mountain, and I've been trying to knock off the seven summits, highest points in each continent. And so this year I get to stick around in our home country of North America and climb North America's highest mountain, which is roughly 20,000 feet, 23,010 feet to be precise, and doing that in May. So looking forward to that event.
Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Do you take oxygen with you?
You know, on Denali, you don't really. Of the seven summits, Everest would be the only one that you'd probably require oxygen. Aconcagua, which I did last year, was 23,000 feet, and I managed to do that without oxygen, although there were times I wish I had it.
Yeah. How do you train for that?
A lot. You know, here in Kansas, it's fairly flat, but we do have Stairmasters, and we have opportunity to get out in the snow and the ice, and just, again, a lot of heavy weights and a lot of time, you know, just trying to simulate what you'll be doing on the mountain.
I've got a good idea for you for training, okay?
Okay, let's hear it.
When I was a teen, I had the opportunity to live with my grandmother, and then I lived in Davos, Switzerland. And the outing that we went on for our school outing was a ski trip, which I thought, no problem. I can ski downhill anytime. We'd go up in the funicular, we come down, right? Well, no, they handed out skins. And what we had to do.
I'm tracking with you.
So you put the skins on the bottom of the skis, and you walk up the mountain very carefully. You know that you look like a duck walking up, right?
Yep.
And you better not cross those backs of those skis because you're going up. Then you get to ski downhill. So I think you getting out there in the snow, you could probably do a little bit of training by walking up a mountain in your skis.
No doubt. I did try that once, though, and it was not a good experience because I did exactly what you just mentioned. I crossed the back of the skis, and you lose the grip, and next thing I know, I was sliding down the mountain, and all the progress I made for 2 hours was wasted.
Ah, yes, that is the problem. It's so much fun talking with you. I hope you'll be back on the show sometime.
Absolutely. Have me anytime. Thank you for your support of superintendents and all that they do. I hope that your golfers that listen give a thanks to the superintendents. They're the unsung heroes of the game and go out every day to try to make the playing conditions good for all of us, and we just couldn't be more pleased with what they've done this year to get golf back open, and thank you for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Rhett Evans, CEO, Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and the 2021 Golf Industry Show. Got to ask you one final question. You know, the live where I can go and watch what happened during the show? What web address would I go to catch that?
Yeah, so if you want to, the easiest way just for everyone to remember, and although it's a mouthful acronym, is go to gcsaa.org, or maybe an easier one would be GIS, which stands for the Golf Industry Show, .org, and you'd get in, and there's some great content there. We had Jim Nance, who received our Old Tom Morris Award. He spoke for about 20 minutes and just an absolute hero of a lot of folks and a friend of the superintendent. And we had, again, this panel that you referenced with the commissioners. And so lots of good content for folks to view. GIS.org, and you can get in there and view all of that.
That's perfect. This is Rhett Evans. Thanks so much for being on the show. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
We're going to come back. We're going to visit with Ron Miyashiro, the University of Hawaii at Manoa Golf Coach, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Golf Club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
We are KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
We want you to win something, and since it's so difficult to travel, we have two choices for you. Poipu Bay, two rounds of golf, or on Maui, Claude Brousseau, a lesson with Master PGA. Claude Brousseau on Maui at Wailea. And the number to call is 545-1111. And, of course, Neighbor Islands, 808 545-1111.
Want more customers?
Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade.
Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company, buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few hundred dollars. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
That's rick@radiogolfclub.com.
Our listeners are consumers, too.
The Golf Club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee.
Now, back to The Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Ron Miyashiro, University of Hawaii at Manoa Golf Coach. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, thank you, Danielle, for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Ron not only is University of Hawaii at Manoa Golf Coach, he's also the organizer of the Amerari Intercollegiate Tournament played at Hapuna Golf Course on the Mauka side of Mauna Kea in Waimea on the Big Island. A wonderful time. Arizona State Sun Devils won. What a tournament. What was it like trying to put everything together during COVID?
You know, it was a lot. It was a lot. You know, normally our tournament, we bring in about 19 schools from the mainland. And, you know, as this pandemic was going on, we slowly but surely started losing some teams for different reasons, mostly for safety reasons by visiting university administrators that didn't want to send their team over to Hawaii. And then on top of that, you know, the university didn't get any exemptions for travel for these teams to come in. So everyone that came in, each individual from each school had to go through Hawaii Safe Travels. Each have had to follow the same regulations that any other visitor that would come to Hawaii. You know, so the layers upon layers of things that had to be done. You know, it was amazing that we were able to get it done, and I'm very thankful for the teams that did come, that went through all the hoops they had to go through to make this happen. So
you had it was a lot, but you had great teams. I mean, Arizona State, I just watched them on Golf Channel. They didn't win, but they came close. USC Trojans, they were second. Oregon State, Georgia Tech, tied for third. It was really something to see Isaiah Cano with his great round of 67. I guess we got the wind first. It must have done something on the second day to you guys.
No, so those of you who have been out to Hopuna or even that side of the coast on the Big Island, when the wind blows, you know, it blows. You know, the mountains have a lot to do with that as far as speed-wise goes. But, you know, the wind blowing from the south, which had everything to do with that storm that rolled through the state, you know, it was amazing to see. And the comments from a lot of the coaches that were there who've never experienced something like that before, it was amazing to see how fast and how strong that wind came in all at once. You know, I kind of anticipated it, and I was telling everybody, you know, between, you know, 12 and 1 o'clock it was going to come. I had no idea how strong it was going to be, you know, other than the predictions from the Weather Channel. You know, and we're up on the top of the golf course at that point in time on number 6 and 7, and I looked out on the ocean, and I just saw white caps.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm like, this is coming. This is coming. And, you know, so I kind of warned the coaches on a coaches group text that, guys, be prepared, it's coming. And within 10 minutes, it went from maybe 5 miles an hour to 30. And it was just crazy. It was amazing. And it blew the rest of the day. So, you know, luck have it. You know, the early teams that went out for that day, you know, they only probably caught about two, maybe three holes of it. So they got majority of their round in. But us on the tail end, you know, we caught it basically from number 8 all the way through 18. And it was strong. And those of you who have played Hopuna, you know, not everything is either into the wind or against the wind. It's a lot of them are cross. And, you know, to try and control your golf ball, you know, in credit to the guys who were able to figure things out that quickly, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. A little bit of spin on that golf ball, and that golf ball was going in way different directions. So, you know, like I told my guys, it was the luck of the draw. You know, things happen. We all knew it was coming. We never anticipate, you know, exactly how it's going to be, and you just got to be patient and try and do the best you can. You know, I feel bad for Georgia Tech because they had a lead after the first round, and they were paired with us on the second day, and you know, their lead disappeared very quickly, very quickly. They went from, I think, at that point in time, I think they were, you know, with 10 holes to go, they were probably either tied or maybe had a few stroke lead at that time, and then went that from that to like 9-8 down at the end of the day. So,
oh, wow.
It was rough. It was rough.
Yeah, really. I was looking at some of the numbers, and the par threes were particularly hard on Georgia Tech. Interesting that you should bring them up because they're really good on the fours and fives, but the par threes, they, you know, it's, I don't know. Are they distance?
No. So the par threes at Hopuna, a lot of them are on crosswind and they're not easy. Par threes at Hopuna aren't easy. The altitude changes, either uphill or downhill, especially on the back nine. And, you know, again, those of you who've seen Hopuna, you miss the green by, you know, 10, 15 yards, you're in the bushes or in the lava. So having to hit shots and control your spin and control your ball flight when the wind's moving 30 miles an hour, you know, it's very, very, very difficult. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of those guys on that team, they've never experienced anything like that in their lives. you know, they have a few Europeans, you know, and a couple guys from the Midwest, you know. So, you know, outside of hurricanes, I guess you could say, in the Midwest, you don't really see wind like that.
No.
So, and if the wind's blowing like that, you're not golfing. So,
no, definitely.
It was tough. It was tough. And, you know, even for my guys, it's, you know, I tell them, you know, you can prepare as much as you can. It's hard to prepare for that, but no excuses. You just got to kind of do what you got to do to make things happen and make the best of it and scrounge some good shots and you know, hopefully at the end it's not as bad as you want it to be.
So. Sam Choi's Poke Shootout was played every year at Hapuna for a long time, and on every hole everybody enjoyed a different poke. How's that for fun?
That would probably have been more fun, even if it was 30 miles an hour. I tell you that.
Stop and eat. We have to talk again because I ran late today and I really apologize. But I need to just ask you a question. Mark Rolfing has a vision for the Alawai to be the hub of Hawaii golf, including, of course, the home course for the University of Hawaii golf team for team practice. Would you and the UH team like to have the Alawai as a home course?
You know, obviously, Danielle, that would be probably as ideal as you could get, being 5 minutes from campus. You know, right now we travel, you know, 20, 30, 45 minutes to go to practice on a daily basis. You know, the opportunity, if that were to come up, would be a tremendous boost for our program, to be honest with you. Just to be really available to the players, you know, all times of day, basically, if you're that close to campus. But just, you know, just the idea of having a home. We've never really had a home golf course in this program ever. We are very thankful to the golf courses year after year after year who support our program and allow our players to come out. You know, but the trend across the country has been, you know, either university-owned golf courses or university-owned golf facilities. If that were ever to happen, Daniel, I mean, that'd be a tremendous boost for our program, tremendous boost for our recruiting, tremendous boost for, you know, the just the vision of Hawaii golf in general. And you know, if Mark can get that done, and Mark can figure out a way, and Mark can figure out a way to work with us and work with the city, I think that'd be great for golf as a whole. I think for not only us but for everybody else.
Ron Miyashiro, I certainly hope that we put all the positive energy out there to make it happen. A University of Hawaii at Manoa golf coach, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we want to thank the people, the wonderful sponsors who make the show possible. Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Oahu's best value in golf. Double deck driving range, top tracer at each station. Socially distanced on the covered range, so rain or shine, it is a perfect place to go and enjoy the family or your friends, and you can challenge them. You know, it's fun on the Bayview Golf Course. You can create the perfect team-building event, an outing, a tournament at Bayview. You just get in touch with Bayview Golf Course, and you can make your tee time 247-0451. The number is 247-0451. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale continues until that store is absolutely empty. We put power at your fingertips for everything you need, including the Honda mower. You can save $50 on the mower and get your $200 extended warranty free. Delivery is half price now. That's Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island, and Waipahu. So what's worse than living in pain? Well, not doing anything about it. So go and call Dr. Jonathan Carlson. Make the call for somebody stubborn in your family. 808-452-1379. The Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic in Kailua, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson has a way with getting people back on the golf course, back into action. He's a surfer. Flood and fire disasters. Oh, gosh, we don't like talking about them, but if they do happen, flood has been an issue this month. You know, the past couple of rainstorms we have had, and we could have more coming in not too distant future. So you want to call MD Restoration. 528-3434, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service, totally COVID compliant, mold remediation, flood, fire, dirty water cleanup, carpet, upholstery cleaning, licensed contractor. Yeah, that helps a lot. MD Restoration, 528-3434. And RCM Construction, the 30-year leader in Spalding repairs across Hawaii. Spalling, well, that's when water gets between the brick, the concrete, or the natural stone and peels or flakes off, weakening the entire structure. So what do you want to do about it? You want to fix it as soon as possible. RCM, the number is 864-9520. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.